Lady Astor presents The Screen Guild Players. The Lady Astor Screen Guild play tonight, The Valiant. The starring players:
this is Humphrey Bogart.
This is Dorothy McGuire.
This is Robert Middlemass.
And this is Pedro de Cordoba.
Tonight, through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players in one of the most famous stories in American theatrical history, The Valiant. It stars Dorothy McGuire as the girl, Humphrey Bogart as the prisoner, Pedro de Cordoba as the chaplain, and Robert Middlemass, who wrote the original play, as the warden. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in The Valiant. Penitentiary, the Connecticut State Prison, a bad night, a depressing night, a night set aside for an execution. It's raining outside, a steady, dismal rain that chills the bones and drums its way into the mind, a relentless, implacable sort of rain. Even conversation becomes damp and heavy. Inside in the prison office, a single small lamp is burning on the warden's desk. And here in the half-lit, half-shadowed gloom, two men wait and count the passing minutes. The warden and the prison chaplain, both trying to forget what lies ahead.
Still raining, Warden.
Yeah. It would have to go and rain tonight.
It's past 11. We haven't very much longer to wait.
No, thank God. I'm sorry. I guess I'm getting too old for this sort of thing.
Is anyone ever young?
No, I suppose not. But a necktie party didn't used to bother me so much. This one's giving me the blue devils.
It's not a pleasant duty, even with the worst of them.
No. Was he quiet when you left him?
Yes, he was perfectly calm. I believe he'll stay that way to the end.
Father, when you were with him in his cell, did he talk?
Oh, yes. He talked very freely.
What about?
Almost everything.
Himself?
Almost everything except himself. That still seems to be the one thing he won't talk about.
That's what's got my goat. He's been like that ever since he came in. 4 months. Watching tonight come closer and closer. And still refusing to tell us who he really is.
I'm afraid he intends to go on that way, trying to make us believe his name is James Dyke.
James Dyke. That isn't his name any more than it's mine. He's just trying to shield somebody, that's all. What time is it, Father?
11:30. Warden, if you want to pour yourself a drink.
Well, thanks, Father. I think I will. I don't know why I should hate this one any more than the others. The boy is guilty as the devil.
Yes, he killed a man. Willfully, feloniously, and with malice aforethought.
And he pleaded guilty. So he deserves just what he's going to get.
That is the law.
Still, if he'd only talk. If he'd just open up. I've begged, I've argued, I've threatened, I've coaxed. And I'm not through yet.
What do you mean?
First time I've done a thing like this in the 28 years I've been warden here. I'm going to try to talk to him again.
Here he is, Warden. I brought him up.
Okay, Dan. You can wait outside.
Yes, sir.
Come in, Dyke. Sit down.
Thanks.
Dyke, you've been here under my charge for 4 months now. And I want to tell you that from first to last, you've behaved yourself like a gentleman.
Why should I make any...
And you haven't made any trouble. And I've tried to show you what I think about it. I've made you as comfortable as the law would let me.
You've been very kind, Warden. You too, Father.
I've had you brought in here to stay. From now on, with Father Daly and me.
That's fine.
Well, this is a very unusual procedure. You don't seem to understand.
Sure I do, Warden. But you don't seem to understand. It doesn't give me much of a thrill.
My son, the Warden is only trying to do you one more kindness.
I know he is, Father, but what's the use? From now on, one place is about the same as another to me.
But my son...
Look, I'm just as much a condemned prisoner here as I was in my cell. Armed guards out there in the rain every few feet. Dan planted outside that door and that other door. I know as well as you do where that door leads to.
Would you rather wait in your cell?
No, no. No, this is a little pleasanter, except...
Except what, my son?
Well, in my cell I could smoke.
What do you want, cigar or cigarette?
Cigarette, if it's all the same.
There's a box on my desk. Help yourself.
Thanks.
Light?
Much obliged. Yeah. You know, Warden, you're a pretty good host.
Dyke, before it's too late, I wish you'd think over what Father Daly and I have said to you so many times.
I have thought it over.
Then, as man to man, and this is your last chance, who are you?
Who am I? James Dyke, a murderer.
That's not your real name.
So what? You're not going to execute a name, you're going to execute a man. What difference does it make if you call me Dyke or something else?
It makes a great deal of difference, my son.
To a lot of people. You see that pile of letters on my desk? Well, they're just a few samples. Altogether, I've got 4,000 letters like those.
Oh, that's a lot of letters.
From every state in the Union, from Canada, from England, all asking the same thing. Who are you? And are you the missing son, or brother, or husband, or sweetheart?
You answered them?
I couldn't. You're the only one can do that.
In 20 minutes? Listen, Warden. You can write these people and tell them I'm not the man they're looking for. And that'll be the truth, too. Because I haven't any mother, or father, or sister, or wife, or sweetheart. I haven't anyone, see?
You're trying to shield somebody, aren't you?
Maybe I am, and... maybe I'm not.
Who is it? Your family?
I didn't say it was.
You didn't say it wasn't. Dyke, just listen to me a moment. Now, don't be narrow about this thing. Try to look at it in a big, broad way. You want to spare your family, and I don't blame you. But why don't you figure it from this other angle? Suppose you come out with the truth. You might put all this sorrow into one home, one family, your own. But you'd be bringing a tremendous relief to 4,000 others. Don't you think you owe something to all those other people?
Not a thing.
But, my boy, you do owe something to all those others. The Warden is right. You owe them peace of mind. For the sake of all those distressed souls who imagine God knows what, I beg you to tell us who you are.
I guess it's no use, Father. Dyke, is there any other statement you want to make?
No. I think I've said everything. I killed a man, and I'm not sorry for it. I mean, I'm not sorry I killed that particular person.
Repentance, my
sure,
son.
Sure, Father, I know. I've heard repentance is the sickbed of the soul, but the mind's pretty healthy right now. The man deserved to be killed. He wasn't fit to live. I knew I had to kill him, and I did it. I did it deliberately and intentionally and carefully. I knew what I was doing, and I've got no excuse. At least, no excuse that'll... satisfy the law.
Now, look, Dyke.
That's all there is to that. And an hour from now, if a couple of angel policemen grab my soul and haul it up before God...
My boy, please.
I'm sorry, Father. I didn't mean to step on anything that's sacred to you. But if I've got to be judged by God Almighty for the crime of murder, I'm not afraid. Because the other fellow will be there too, won't he? When God hears the whole story and both sides of it, which you never heard, and they never heard in the courtroom either, well, then, if he's any kind of a God at all, I'm take my chances with the other fellow. That's all.
Well, Dyke, if you feel that way...
better grab that, Warden. It might be a reprieve, I don't think.
Hello? Yes, this the Warden. Where? No, no, don't do that. I'll be right down. Where is she, Wilson?
In there in the waiting room. I figured she must be pretty important. Governor sent her over in his own car.
And she thinks this fella Dyke is her brother?
She doesn't think. She's sure he is. I had the matron frisk her just to be safe.
Okay. You want to see me, miss?
Are you the warden?
Yes, I am. No, don't get up. Just sit where you are, please.
Thank you.
Now then, I understand the governor sent you over. You wish to see Dyke?
Yes, sir. I hope I'm not too late.
No, you're not too late. But I want to ask you a few questions first.
Questions? Well,
nothing to get upset about. I just want to make it easier for you. Where do you live?
In Pennington, sir, in Ohio. It's a little town not far from Columbus.
And you live out there with your mother and father?
No, sir, just my mother and I. My father died when I was a little girl.
Any brothers or sisters?
Just one brother, sir. This one. That's why I came.
Of course. And what makes you so sure that this man Dyke is your brother?
His picture in the paper. The minute Mother saw it, she said it was Joe. That's my brother's name, Joe.
I see. Too bad you couldn't have gotten here sooner. The case has been in the papers for 6 months now.
It was only last Tuesday that Mother saw it in the journal. And that's our home paper. And, well, she just wanted me to come east and find out for sure.
Why didn't your mother come here herself?
Well, she's very sick. She's been sick almost ever since Joe ran away.
How long ago was that?
8 years.
You must have been very young.
Oh, I was almost 10.
Still, you haven't seen him in 8 years. Now, what makes you think you'd recognize your brother now?
Well, of course, I think
But how could you be sure? Suppose he doesn't want to be recognized.
Oh, I've thought of all that. I'll just ask him questions about the things we used to do together. And I'll watch his face. If he is my brother, I'm sure I can tell.
I wouldn't bank on that.
Well, you see, we used to play games together. Oh, he used to read so much. He was always reading stories all the time. And then he'd tell the stories to me. That's what I'm counting on most, the stories, especially the Shakespeare.
Shakespeare?
Yes, and one in particular. Every night, he'd sit beside my bed, and when I got sleepy, there were two speeches from Romeo and Juliet. You know, Shakespeare's play. And we'd always say them to each other for good night. I'd say, good night, parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall always say good night till it be morrow. And then Joe would always answer, sleep dwell upon thine eyes, peace in thy breast. Would I were sleep and peace, so sweet to rest. Oh, he couldn't forget that. I'll say my lines to him and... Oh, why are you shaking your head like that?
This boy isn't your brother.
You think he isn't?
I know he isn't. This boy never heard of Shakespeare, much less learn him. But still, since you've come all this way...
Well, then you will let me see him anyway. I can talk to him.
The question is, will he talk to you? I think you might at least give her a break, Dyke. She's come 1,000 miles to see you.
That's a good one, Warden. Father, don't you think that's funny? A year ago, nobody crossed the street to look at me, and now they come 1,000 miles.
You must be very certain that she's your sister.
Now, she's wrong. I haven't any sister.
Shall I tell her that, or do you want to tell her yourself?
You can tell her.
Too bad. I thought when she went back to Pennington, she'd...
Where?
Pennington, Ohio. Ever been there?
Never heard of it. Still, if she's come all the way from Ohio...
My boy, this is one of your debts to humanity. It wouldn't take you 2 minutes to see her.
Where would I talk to her? Here?
Of course.
Alone?
Well,
No, don't be afraid. I wouldn't cheat the sovereign state of Connecticut for anything in the world.
You know, Dyke, there's something about you that wins everybody.
Yeah, especially that jury that put me in here. Go ahead, Warden. Bring her in.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
Did you ever feel as though you were walking on air? Can you remember what it was that made you feel that way? Something made you feel good, made you feel glad to be alive. Well, in Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder, I've tried to capture that mood, that moment. I've tried to create a shade that wakens a woman's face to joy and radiance, that makes her look glad to be alive. You'll find that Bridal Pink brings a radiant look of new life to your appearance, as no other face powder color can. The instant you apply it, you know you look daintier and more romantic. This lovely color, so delicate, yet vibrantly alive, gives your skin the look of youthful freshness, as if you were walking on air, knowing you look just right. Even if you have little lines and blemishes, Lady Esther Bridal Pink makes your skin seem smooth and perfect, for it's made a new way. It's so highly pulverized, it spreads like a delicate film of beauty on your skin, completely covering little marks and lines. It feels light and cool as a summer breeze, yet it clings at least 4 hours, flattering you every moment. It doesn't matter whether your hair is blonde, brunette, auburn, or brown. Lady Esther Bridal Pink is intensely flattering to almost every skin it touches. You can't possibly put Lady Esther Bridal Pink on your face without looking more youthful, more romantic. It even makes your features look daintier. And many women write me, it even brings a fascinating new light into their eyes. So ask for Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder. Insist on Lady Esther Bridal Pink, the only color that can give you this assurance that you look more beautiful than ever.
And now, Lady Esther presents the second act of The Valiant, starring Robert Middlemass, Pedro de Cordoba, Dorothy McGuire, and Humphrey Bogart. Outside, the same dreary, dismal rain. In the prison office, the same gloomy light. And now the door opens, and Dyke and the chaplain turn together as the warden enters with the girl.
In here, miss. This is my office.
Thank you.
Dyke, this is the young lady that's come all the way from Ohio to see you.
Yes, sir.
I've decided you can talk with her in here.
Alone. Thanks. It won't take long.
Father Daly and I'll wait outside the door. You'll be on your honor.
That's a hot one, my honor.
How's that?
Nothing, forget it.
All right, miss, you'll remember what I said about the time.
Yes, sir, I know.
I'm afraid that's just about all that's left. Now come along, Father.
Yes, I'm coming. Good luck, miss.
Mother sent me to see you.
Did she?
Yes, you see, we haven't heard from Joe, that's my brother, in ever so long, and Mother thought that
I might be your brother, Joe?
Yes, that's it.
Well, you can easily see that I'm not, can't you?
Well, I'm not sure. You look a little like him, and so did the picture in the paper. But then again, it's been so long.
As a matter of fact, I couldn't be your brother or anybody's brother because I never had a sister.
Honestly?
Honestly.
What's your real name?
Dyke. James Dyke.
That's sure enough your name?
Sure enough. You don't think I'd lie at this stage of the game?
No, I don't guess you would. Where do you come from? I mean, where were you born?
Canada. But I've lived about everywhere.
Did you ever live in Ohio?
No, never.
What kind of work did you do? What was your business?
All sort of a jack of all trades. I've been nearly everything, I guess. Except a success.
Do you like books?
Books?
Yes, books to read.
Well, I don't read when there's anything better to do. I've read a lot here.
Oh, I hope you don't mind me asking so many questions.
No, go ahead, if it'll relieve your mind any.
Well, did you ever want to be an actor, or were you ever?
No, never.
Well, do you know any poetry?
Not to speak of.
Thou knowest the mask of night is on my face. Else would a maiden blush bepaint my cheek for that which... Oh, don't you know what that is?
No. To tell the truth, it sounds sort of silly to me, doesn't it to you?
Good night. Good night. Parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say good night till it be morrow.
Huh?
What comes next?
Good Lord, I don't know.
No, you're not, Joe, are you? Well, I just had to come and find out. Mother had to know.
I'm surprised she sent a girl like you on a sorry errand like this instead of...
Mother's very sick.
Oh. Well, that's too bad.
Most of it's from worrying about Joe.
Still, she'll be glad to know he's not a murderer, won't she?
Yes, I think so. Only...
Only what?
I don't think she'll ever really be well again till she finds out for certain where Joe is and what's become of him.
Mothers shouldn't be treated like that. I wish I'd treated mine better. By the way, you didn't tell me what your name was.
Josephine Paris.
Paris?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. It's an unusual name. I've heard it somewhere before.
Just like the name of the city in France.
And your brother's name was Joseph, huh?
Mm-hmm. They used to call us Joe and Josie. It's funny, isn't it?
No. No, I don't think it's so very funny. I sort of like it. If I could only...
What's the matter? You're frowning so.
I'm trying to remember. Now, what on earth was that boy's name? Wait a minute. Wait a minute, don't tell me. Wait a minute, I've got it. Joseph Anthony Paris.
Why, that's his name. That's Joe. How did you ever...
Now, listen carefully. Don't interrupt, because we've only got a minute, and I want you to get all this straight so you can tell your mother.
Yes?
It was in France, you see, the early part of the war. I was there with the Canadians. It was that morning we staged the raid on Dieppe. We were on our way back to the beach, and this officer was wounded. The Jerrys were putting down some heavy stuff, and this lieutenant was lying there right in the middle of it. Well, all of a sudden, a young fellow broke out of the trees where we were getting some cover and went out in the open after that officer.
Oh.
The chances were about 1,000,000 to 1 against him. He must have known it. Still, he reached the lieutenant, picked him up, and started back. But they'd only gone a few yards when an .88 landed right on the top of the two of them. Afterward, we got what was left. The identification tag was still there, and that was the name, Joseph Anthony Paris.
Oh.
Yeah, you can tell your mother he died like a brave man and a soldier in France.
Joe... My brother Joe is dead.
He died a hero. One of those wonderful, brave things that went almost unnoticed. If an officer had seen it, it'd have been a decoration for your mother to keep and remember him by.
And you were there and saw it.
I was there, and I saw it.
Oh.
It ought to make your mother happy to know her boy died as a soldier, not as a criminal.
Yes. Oh, yes, it will.
And does it make you happy, too?
Yes, so happy. After what we were both afraid of, I can't even cry yet.
You'll get a little gold star and wear it for him over your heart?
Yes, I will. And yet, somehow, I'll almost feel that I'm wearing it for you, too.
Oh, no, you mustn't do that. I'm not fit to be mentioned in the same breath with a boy like your brother. Now I'm afraid it's time for you to go.
Oh, but...
I'm sorry. You'd better... I'm glad you came before it was too late.
You've done more for me and Mother than I can possibly tell you. And I'm so sorry for you. So truly sorry. I wish I could only do something to make you a tiny bit happier. Is there anything I could do?
Well, yes. There is. Only...
What is it?
Nothing, forget it. I shouldn't even be thinking about it.
Please tell me. I want you to. For Joe's sake. Tell me what I can do.
Well, in all the months I've been in this rotten place, you're the first girl I've seen. I've been pretty lonesome, and tonight especially. If you really want to do something for me, for your brother's sake, seeing I haven't any sister of my own or anybody else to say goodbye to me, I mean, if you could really say goodbye.
If you want to kiss me, you can.
Thanks.
I'll always say that was for Joe. And you.
Goodbye, my dear.
Good night. Goodbye.
What's the matter?
I was thinking about what I used to say to my brother for goodnight. If only I could have said it to him just once more for goodbye.
What was it?
Well, I told it to you once, and you said it was silly.
Say it again.
Good night. Good night. Parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say good night till it be. Goodbye. God bless you.
Sleep, dwell upon thine eyes, peace in thy breast. Would I were sleep and peace so sweet to rest.
All right, Dyke, it's time.
Of all the wonders that I yet have heard, it seems to me most strange that men should fear, seeing that death, the necessary end, will come when it will come.
Dyke, I'm sorry.
Cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once.
My son.
All right, let's go.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills.
The valiant never taste of death but once.
From whence cometh my help?
The valiant never taste of death but once.
My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
The valiant never taste of death but once.
Thank you, Pedro de Cordoba, Humphrey Bogart, Robert Middlemass, and Dorothy McGuire for your stirring portrayals. Believe me, we shall all remember your performances for a long, long time to come. And now, before we tell you about next week's program, here is a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
If your skin is a little dry and flaky, try this before applying face powder. Rub Lady Esther four-purpose face cream well into your skin. Then wipe it off. And along with it will come all those dry, ragged little flakes nature is trying to throw off. Your own fingertips will tell you how much softer and smoother your skin has become. And you'll see the difference in your mirror. You'll see how beautifully your powder goes on, how smoothly it clings. You'll see the new translucent look of your skin, the clear, youthful finish. Use Lady Esther four-purpose face cream whenever you want to look your best. It's a complete beauty treatment in itself. First, it thoroughly cleans your skin. Second, it softens your skin, absorbs the dry flakes. Third, it helps nature refine the pores. And fourth, it leaves a smooth, perfect base for powder. For a truly dramatic change in your appearance, try this. Use Lady Esther face cream first. Remove it completely. Then apply Lady Esther face powder in bridal pink, the new shade that's so daringly romantic.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild player, will present Kiss the Boys Goodbye. It will star Sonny Tufts, Johnny Mercer, and Dinah Shore. Be sure to listen. Humphrey Bogart appears in the new Warner Brothers picture, Conflict, now playing at your neighborhood theater. Dorothy McGuire appeared through the courtesy of David O. Selznick and will soon be seen in the RKO production, Some Must Watch. Pedro de Cordoba will soon be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture, The Big Shore Leave. The Valiant was presented through the courtesy of the author, Robert Middlemass, who can soon be seen in the 20th Century Fox production, The Dolly Sisters. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. You save enough on the largest size jar of Lady Esther face cream to buy a box of Lady Esther face powder. So remember, ask for the largest size. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you. Good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.